Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, California. Brian Davidson, Houston, Texas. Need to know news. Sunday, the 23rd June, 2024. Let's take a look at our stories and get some opening statements. First, so we expose the lies and we wonder where the scripts are driving us. We're going to take a look at the war. We're going to take a look at COVID, the great replacement theory. A couple of great stories on that. Trump, Biden optics, official optics. Are we scripted for a MAGA domestic terrorism false flag? If they have the power, I think so. And then finally, the synergistic, unimaginable, and unpredictable solutions that we may have for the brighter future that we're working for. Opening statement, Brian.
Opening statements. Well, let's see. There's not a whole lot going on. I've been putting a lot of energy into this new company. Put a lot of energy into trying to restore this old 1973 Ford Ranchero that just came out of paint. I finished up the interior this week. Tonight, my wife and I are going to be flying out, and my daughter are going to be flying out to Denver to spend a few days on rest and recreation. And hopefully the altitude change isn't going to be too much. We're going to basically spend a couple of days driving around up there in those high altitudes, maybe visiting some casinos, maybe visiting some resorts, whatever. We're going to play it by ear, but we got a private flight from one of my clients, so I'm going to be feeling like I'm swinging with the big dogs. They gave me curbside service. I get to pull my car up to the airplane itself on the tarmac, get in. So it's the first time that's ever happened to me.
Wow.
I'm going to have to pretend like I've been there, done that.
Well, have fun, brother.
Yeah.
For me, it's, being retired, I have a different personal perspective. It's all pretty much focused around the changing world. We have the so-called debate happening coming up this week. We have what might be a financial collapse at any moment as the demand for the U.S. debt derivatives falls, but we'll see. It's just another week in the empire. We'll take a look at the stories. Things are paradoxically, as usual, moving ahead, and pretty much it's the same topics over and over and over again until something breaks. All right. So this is Meryl Nass. Where is Door to Freedom headed? And I just want to read a little bit of this because I like her take. I like the context of kind of what we're doing. My personal drive has always been to expose lies, especially those that hurt large numbers of people, and explain what is true and how to avoid being hurt. Pharma corruption and government malfeasance occupied much of my research and writing. But now, COVID brought into focus a lot bigger problem. Yes, the effort by a small group of elites to increase their power, wealth, and control through strip mining our rights and freedoms, bulldozing our preferences for meat and dairy, for example, pricing us out of the market for good homes and food, weakening us by plying harmful drugs and vaccines, preferably mandated, as well as selling us tainted and non-nutritive foods, not to mention threatening us with pandemics, nuclear war, and overspending to impose a future-controlled demolition of the economy. The elite's primary strategy to win our hearts and minds, because they couldn't overcome 8 billion people otherwise, has been to create a massive new ideology with many tentacles built on an enormous amalgamation of big lies and small lies, and the general plan was concocted over 50 years ago. And that's what I'm seeing with the, Great Awakening and the Great Choosing. People are choosing a side. Putin's symbolic tour. Now, anything that is released like this is scripted. One, who the fuck has a camera there in their car? Two, they're showing us something. They're showing us that Putin's at the wheel of something. They're not wearing seat belts, but wherever it is that Putin is driving, why? The North Korean head of state is excited about it. So that's the optic, and it's kind of like, don't you want to be with them? Isn't that what it's communicating there? Now, this is a tour that Putin is taking from North Korea to Vietnam, and we're looking at the optics, of course, of the change from the U.S. debt dollar, the petrodollar, into a more hard based asset or an asset based currency of the rise of the BRICS. Then that body hasn't hit the floor yet, but it will. People will not fund the genocide or the show of the genocide and suffer the inflation associated with the US debt securities. Brian, your thoughts, brother.
Well, first of all, I want to talk about that Meryl Nass article. Basically, she's breaking down an initiative called Door to Freedom that that contends outwardly that there are elite groups using carefully crafted ideology of lies to basically sway global populations toward compliance. She's talking about this organization of Door to Freedom that is wants to just simply highlight it, shine some sunlight on it. Manipulation of food production and pricing and quality, promotion of insect-based meals under environmental pretexts, and pushing of untested vaccines during perceived pandemics. She basically is saying that there is clearly an initiative out there that's operated by some sort of dark and nefarious organization. She won't say what it is. It's the Zionists, of course. We know this. They're at least in part of it, along with the secret societies that they work along with. And that might include secret societies of Jesuits and others. But there is absolutely some sort of global reset, great reset coming. How deep it goes, and how far and wide it goes. Obviously, the conspiracy is controlled at the highest levels of power. The people that pull the strings of the politicians and the institutions that have been corrupted over years and years and years. Now, what's interesting to see Putin in North Korea, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to pronounce it Putin anymore. I'm supposed to pronounce it Putin. I got somebody in the comments was after me about that, so I'll try to get it right. Putin in North Korea. Wow, North Korea is one of the few countries that has probably done a good job of insulating itself from the control of the Marxism brigade. Although clearly a communist type scenario or dictatorship type scenario that incorporates a lot of the different components of what communism should have been, similar to what Russia used to be back when it was the Iron Curtain. They've managed to keep Western influence out, but that doesn't mean that Western influence and the machine of control hasn't been, deeply embedded like a disease inside their power structures. So if you look at the parallels between Russia, Putin, and North Korea, you find societies that have done a good job keeping themselves separate from what we would consider Western influence. However, it seems that they've also allowed a lot of the influence from the traditional Marxist brigade into their own societies. So it's just like China. How deep does it go? How far is it? Because if you take a look at what happened in China back during the Red Revolution, you'll understand that it very much feels like an old Marxism Bolshevik platform just recycled into a new breed of communism that ended up getting loose. So it's interesting. Is it really Western influence that's causing the problem, or is it an Eastern influence, perhaps a Khazarian influence, that's really causing the problem? I have a feeling that the Western influence, if you were to say America or define America as the West, you'll find that our influence is actually a positive influence at heart, but it has lost its way, it's lost its compass, and it has gone rogue. The original Declaration of Independence and Constitution were great things. Where have they gotten us? 200 years later, they've gotten us into a position where we're still controlled and becoming enslaved more and more every day by the machine.
And the politicians are certainly just lie contest winners, and they have handlers, and then there's going to be a management structure above that, and we don't know what it is, except that it controls the money, it controls the media, and it controls every agency. So relative to ordinary humans, it's hyper intelligent, because it remains relatively hidden. And if you were to think about the optimal predator, that you don't even know where it's coming from. Ooh, that's you gotta respect that next level of competence. And for the puppeteers, it was W. Bush who really made the contribution to me that was conclusively that, this guy is not in charge. This guy doesn't even know what the fuck he's talking about on some of these issues. He knows so little. And then it occurred to me, okay, so his daddy was the CIA director. And then Reagan, the attempted assassination on Reagan. So that's how these imperialists roll. Okay, let's go on. It's just ruthless. And who
Hey,
is
can you
pulling
pause
the
it for a second?
strings? Yeah.
Just pause 1 second on the recording.
Oh, yep. All right, and we're back. Next topic. The war. The IDF is one of the most criminal armies in the world. Even the United Nations is saying it now. It's a UN Human Rights Council report. And these were 30 experts. And let's see, I want to, here we go. While the UN report might be stating the obvious, it has been described as one of the most damning reports in the UN's history. The team had submitted 7,000 pieces of evidence to the International Criminal Court, yet the mainstream media has barely touched the story. I only knew of it because Twitter and Haaretz and Israeli publications. You just have to look at the various UN social media accounts to see they're no longer pulling punches. They're spelling out that this is genocide in the clearest possible terms. One of the quotes of the year came when a journalist pointed out Israel is still insisting it has the most moral army in the world. And Chris Sidoti, a member of the UN Commission of Inquiry, replied, Israel is one of the most criminal in the world. Ooh. Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's a good start. Let's see. Nope, that isn't where we are.
I'm sure that the complainers will be rooted out soon enough.
Yeah. And from antiwar.com, UN Israeli authorities responsible for crimes against humanity. Yeah, it's actually, it is a illegal war of aggression and then war crimes within the illegal war of aggression and then genocide. You got to kind of describe that as crimes against humanity. And this is, as always, Emperor's New Clothes obvious. Caitlin Johnstone, Zionism is the exact opposite of spirituality. Yeah, I like that take. It takes a profound cruelty to support raining tens of thousands of tons of military explosives onto a giant concentration camp full of children. It takes outright malignant narcissism to expect everyone to accept this and act wounded and indignant when they don't. Zionism is like the exact opposite of people who identify as spiritual but not religious. It's religion stripped bare of all spirituality until it's nothing but a shitty political ideology that's ultimately really about land, Western imperialism, and geostrategic control. VT, foreign policy. October 7th, 2023, Hamas attack was an Israeli false flag attack. Now, this really is this is our senior editor, Jonas Alexis. It is a overarching, excellent article. It defines false flag, an attack or other hostile action that obscures the identity of the participants carrying out the action while implicating another group or nation as the perpetrator. Okay. Goes over some of the history we've talked about, the 1954 Laman Affair, where Israel was trying to kill Americans but got caught. They were going to have the false flag to blame Egyptians, I believe, in that one. The 1967 attack on the USS Liberty, and more background history as well, implicating them into the 9/11 attack. And the evidence for this false flag attack is abundant, and it includes the documentary that I recommend by my friend and colleague, John Hankey, retired AP US history teacher, and is everything that we saw. The border was the most secure in the world. Motion, sensors, heat, sound, eyes on video, and all those guys do is train. They allowed that to happen. They saw it coming. They stood down for 6 hours and then came in with heavy artillery, blew everything up, and blamed Hamas. Ethnic and ethic cleansing. A few thoughts and questions on Israel and Gaza. As Israel is ethnically cleansing Gaza, the United States is ethically cleansing Israel. It doesn't matter what Israel does to the Palestinians in Gaza, war crimes or genocide. It's all ethically justifiable, according to the US government, which makes them, of course, complicit and one of the reasons why their debt securities will not be marketable. Trump says Israel must finish the job in Gaza, makes false charges regarding October 7th deniers. So this is not a good optic for the future of the success of human beings. And I want to quote Trump here. He said, he then goes on to complain that the October 7 Hamas attack is, quote, getting more and more demeaned. They're demeaning it. I have people now telling me they don't think the attack ever happened. You watch these people on television, and then just like you have Holocaust deniers also, they say the Holocaust never took place. It's the exact same people. They're saying it never happened. It's us. We're saying it both never happened. That's right. Yeah, and all you're going to do is obfuscate and never address the facts. And that's
You
why
don't
we need some sort
understand.
of a breakthrough. At least, he's at least knows what he's talking about for that one. Let's see. And that's the end of that section.
He has to bow the knee to those handlers. That's the Zionist machine, man. He's been bowing the knee to those guys for years and years and years. Listen, going back to the article about spirituality, there is a struggle that takes place within humanity, and some people simply lose the battle. And I'm going to say this about the Jews. They simply lost the battle in the struggle for good and evil. And if I like to, sort of put the parallels together there with Nicodemus. If you remember in John chapter 3 in the Bible, there was the whole discussion between Jesus and this, Pharisee, one of the elite upper crust of the educational structure there in Israel. And Nicodemus couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Hey, a man must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus is like, "What does this mean? What does this mean? This doesn't make any sense to me." Fast forward down the line, so you have Nicodemus caught in a bit of a struggle. Like, I can tell this is a good teacher. This is a very special man that's probably the Messiah. I can tell that he's incredibly, gifted and different than anything else that I've ever seen before. But here he is, healing the poor and sitting with tax collectors and sinners all along the way, and he tells the truth. And the truth will hurt a lot of feelings, and it does hurt a lot of feelings. And then he gets into the temple and he turns over the money changers' booths and he starts busting out against the power structure, calling them a bunch of snakes and vipers. And how does it all play out? They end up putting together a conspiracy to have him killed. They end up working together with Herod and others that were also part of the Jewish power structure to figure out a way to basically inflame the mob at the upcoming Passover there. That would be the third year of his ministry. And they inflame the mob with, and they plant the lie. Hey, he said he was going to tear down the temple in 3 days. We can't have this. This man's a heretic. Burn him at the stake, basically. And then the mob calls out and they finally end up putting enough pressure on Pontius Pilate and the Romans to basically, and even Pilate, he washed his hands before they had him crucified. Hey, but they got their way. I mean, they got their way. So I like to look at the power structure through the lens of that particular event in history, because that did change the entire architecture of the world in a very special and peculiar way. And the question came down to, what are we using our tongues to do? And of course, the Jewish power structure at the time was using their tongues to control more power, gain more power, protect more of the power structure, and protect more of the elite people that were in place. Whereas, Jesus, on the other hand, was using his words to heal and and help people get delivered from all different types of spiritual slavery and doing good things around there. And so, what do we use our tongues for? Well, we use our tongues as a representative of our heart to try to show what we're all about. Are we all about good, or are we all about evil? Well, what is good? You got to define it. So you start to put together the pieces. Good, love thy neighbor as thyself. Take care. Be responsible. Tell the truth. Make the road straight. Don't bear false witness. Love your God. So what do we use our power for? Well, now take a look and take that whole structure that I just talked about and apply it to society today. You've got the same struggle going on in a different context. You've got people that are just normal, everyday people like us that are trying to get to the truth, that are digging around as hard as we can, as deep as we can, trying to figure out what's real versus what's fake, and calling it like we see it and doing the best that we possibly can with it. While on the other hand, we have a power structure that's working so vigorously to continue to promote lies and deceptions to keep people imprisoned in their minds. And I see the struggle as a lot more than just words. I see it as a spiritual struggle, and it is what it is, but I'd rather be on one side than the other when the last day comes along and I have to finally check on out and meet my maker. I'd rather be the guy that says I use my voice properly to help enlighten the world, rather than as a tool of the machine to get rich.
Yeah, I think
That's
that
my
there are
take on it.
the three categories, and that part of what all that we can do is to participate in this great awakening and the great choosing of the good, the truthful, the bad slash deceitful, and then the sheeple who will not or cannot discern between the two. And that might be the whole purpose of this scenario. We are relatively powerless except for the power of our message and the consequences of those choices when the time comes, or so it seems.
Yeah, I think it's a big test. It is a big, in a sense, it is a big test, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I wasn't put here on this earth for nothing.
Yeah.
Sure, put me to the test. Sure, test my heart. Test my words. Test me. See, sure, why not? I have no problem with that.
Yeah. If we're honest, assess anytime. Take a look. It's all open. All righty. COVID. Government contractor exposes planning of profitable lethal injections. Greg Reese, Dr. David Martin. I want to give him about a minute because what he points to is his own being an expert witness for the background and the criminal planning of these culling sessions.
Release of a lethal respiratory pathogen.
This contract allowed David Martin the ability to witness criminal preparations years before 2020.
So my company was about civilianizing technology so that it could be exported. That got us into a bunch of places where we got to see biological and chemical weapons labs around the world. We are watching in real time as people file patents, as people get grants, as people do collaborations, as corporations get involved in illicit activities. In 1990, Pfizer filed the first patent on a vaccine for coronavirus. Going into 2000, 2001, a very interesting problem happened, and that was that Ralph Baric figured out how to modify a component of the protein associated with coronavirus, and he actually made it into something that would target heart tissue. The whole reason for SARS 1.0 and the whole reason for the anthrax attack was to get commercial liability protections at the cost of civil liberties.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
The October 21, 2014 letter directed from NIAID, that's Anthony Fauci's program, to Sherry Settle. Sherry Settle at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Ralph Baric's program administrator, was told that the gain of function studies that he was doing were actually subject to the gain of function moratorium. As your grant is currently funded, this pause is voluntary. This was published February 12, 2016. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. There is a very, very, very clear statement that says WIV1 is poised for human emergence. Alex, you want to guess what WIV1 is in 2016? It's the Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1. That paper was published at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, not in Wuhan, China. And in 2018 and 2019, a very bizarre thing happened. The United States government reclaimed the patent from the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill, and the Department of Health and Human Services at the National Institutes of Health took that UNC Chapel Hill patent on infectious replication defective coronavirus and reclaimed title and interest to it. We changed the definition of an adverse event following vaccination in 2018 and 2019 so that legally there was no adverse event. If you got the shot and fell over dead, that was not an adverse event. They said on September 18th, 2019, that by September 20 of 2020, the world would accept a universal vaccine. They said that there was going to be an accidental or deliberate release of a lethal respiratory pathogen. They knew it was deadly. They knew it was going to kill people. The motivation was, we have a commercially interested group of sociopaths who want to make money while killing people. That's the bottom line. This is when it stops being fun. This is when it gets hard.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Excellent history, and people are noticing. Shocking moment. Professional boxer collapses mid-fight and apparent seizure during the first round of Team Combat League match. And that, again, is not a good look and is unprecedented, really, statistically, up until these shots. Censorship industrial complex loses bladder control over new study implicating vaccines and global excess mortality. We've covered this study. June 3rd, 2024, BMJ Public Health. And this was also in the front page of the Telegraph and a couple of other global leading publications. COVID vaccines may have helped fuel the rise in excess deaths. So what happened? You have a center that is involved with oncology for children, children's cancer treatment, so-called. They are questioning the paper. Let's see who else was questioning it. A group of physicians jumped out, and BMJ is now printing a paper from people who are questioning the study. However, the questions don't cite the data. All they do is raise questions. And that is it on the topic of COVID. Any comments for COVID, brother?
Well, since we're having a big picture show and I happen to be talking about the big picture today, it is in the devil's best interest to get people checked out of this life as quickly and as efficiently as possible. They don't want people to have time to sit down and reflect on the meaning of life and to figure out where they came from and begin a relationship with their God. That Satan's plan has always been to keep people as separated from him as they possibly could, to keep people from being able to see the light. So we're talking about COVID and the vax. We're talking about depopulation agendas in essence, but you could also add into it anything that is out there that is designed to destroy lives and lifestyles and to confuse our children. Think about the trans agenda. Same thing. Get kids off into a frenzy of such soft foundations that they end up having a personal crisis and take their lives. I can't see any other reason to promote something that dark to children other than going there, or maybe bringing these children into some sort of sexual slavery en masse. It also might be that these people are witches. The witchcraft is very, very strong with them, and they believe by certain incantations and certain levels of bringing up levels of evil in society to a certain level that they'll be able to usher in the rise of the incarnation of the Antichrist or their new spiritual leader, which is really just an old leader, an old God. Now, Jonathan Cahn wrote a very good book called Return of the Gods, which I agree with a lot of, and I found it to be a very interesting study. Jonathan Cahn's a Jew. He's a Messianic Jew. He believes in Christ. He's a Jew that recognizes his way through. And he says, you know, fundamentally that these people are trying to bring back the old gods. If you go listen to Brother Nathaniel, you'll hear the same thing. These are the Jews. The Zionists are really the Jews, the dark and evil ones from the olden days that are trying to rebuild a new structure on an old lie, which is that these people are somehow superior and better. It was never the case that they were superior and better. Anybody who knows and understands their Old Testament knows that these people weren't any better than anybody else. They were just simply to take a message, to carry a torch as it is, to the rest of the world, and they failed at that endeavor completely. There was nothing else redeemable about them. They've been rejected. Now you could argue Hebrews chapter 8 and that they're basically still, the promise still applies to them. And I think while that's all and good, that's not incredibly practical from a daily perspective. We must look at them and evaluate them based on what they do. And as far as what I can tell, what they're doing is dividing our families, destroying our families, trying to break up the family structure, trying to get the kids in battle with the parents, trying to get the cops in battle with the robbers, trying to create as many divisions as they possibly can at every level that they possibly can. Because when people are isolated, social distance, separated out, or and injected with some potentially mind-altering or structure-altering system, they tend to be separate from their ability to cope with the rest of this world. Now, I can tell you through years of introspection and education and structure and reading that I've discovered what I believe to be the meaning of life, the purpose of life, and the very nature and origin of life. And I do choose to worship that. Now, this is a huge threat, because what this does is it gives me the power to open my mouth and speak out against these people and speak out against these structures, even at risk of my bodily health and my life. So there's a reason that I do this. I do that. Look, I don't like the idea of taking on the Sandy Hook people with Dr. Jim Fetzer. I don't, you think I like the idea of the potential turmoil and results that that's going to bring in? You think Dr. Fetzer liked being sued for multiple millions of dollars and going through all of the dragging of the mud that they've taken him through? Nobody likes that, but sometimes there's a price to pay to put the truth out there, and that's what needs to take place. That's why I do it. I do it because I don't believe my life is worth what the next generation's life is anymore.
Well said. Thank you, brother.
That was a bit of a rant, I suppose, huh?
Oh, but I liked it. All right. Let us go to the Great Replacement Theory. I'm going to go ahead and play this. It makes a good point.
That coming to the country, the more they're likely to vote in that direction. The more that coming to the country, the more they're likely to vote in that direction. The simple incentive to increase voters, to Democrat voters. And there's a few ways that this works. One is that when the census is done, the census is based on all people in an area, whether they are citizens or not. So the House seat apportionment is proportionate to the number of people, not the number of citizens. So the illegals overwhelmingly go to places like California and New York. If you look at the apportionment with and without illegals, I believe the blue state, there would be a net loss of blue states of approximately 20 seats in the House. This also applies to the Electoral College. This also applies to electing the president, because the electoral votes are also done by apportionment the same way that House seats are done.
He's explaining why they're bringing in the illegals. He's explaining how it relates to the census and how they get more congressional seats and how they'll figure it out when it comes to voting federally for the president and everything else.
The more that come to the country, the more they're likely.
And conspiracy no more. Explosive undercover footage reveals Biden State Department official admitting the Great Replacement Theory is real. Admits deliberately importing criminals. Yeah. This is from Project Veritas and at the Great Replacement Theory by a country coordinator for the State Department is that is indeed the purpose of the program, is to bring these people in and to fast track them to citizenship and to be able to vote. And that was it for those two. And I just want to say, in the big picture, as you were talking about, it does raise the question of who is in charge, because they seem to have everything and everything seems to be against us and everything seems to put us into pressure to just for survival. And the poison and the torture and the mind control. So it's something that hates us. I think that is a safe conclusion. They're not our friend. They're not telling us the truth. And it's not to make anything easier. It's just to implement more and more torture. So if you didn't know anything, but you had to give it a name, you'd have to call it something evil. Something evil. Something that was against what had already been created. something that is an oppositional force to that. I think that those are all safe conclusions. And then if you value your own self-expression and your own identity, then if you just submit to that, then you're weak, that's pathetic. You could join the evil, okay? If you like that scenery and the people and the destination of parasitism, okay? And especially when it's so severe that you're going to deconstruct children through adrenochrome torturing to try to get the secret formula of their life essence? Huh. Okay. Well, it is far from me to tell you what to do, pal, if you want to join the evil team. Okay. Yeah. Go for it. And, but the rest of us who have a heart and have integrity, then we're going to at least stand for ourselves and offer choice for that benefit. And if you just put it down to a simple choice of, ooh, your life, well, it's meaningless compared to the horror of joining the dark side. Ooh, no thanks. So it might be that again, all we're doing is facilitating a choice, and the breakthrough hasn't happened yet because the empire continues to go on business as usual, although the confidence in its veracity and integrity is being undermined daily.
You know, there's an argument called Kant's moral, Immanuel Kant's moral argument for the existence of God. I bring this one up because I find it to be the most elegant of all. You know, I've looked at the Augustinian argument and some of the other big arguments, 27 different components that all have to be broken down into 17 different subparts. Kant's argument was about as, in my opinion, again, the most elegant of all arguments. He said, looking around, it's clear that mankind has an oughtness or an antenna toward morality. Therefore, that has been built into mankind. Yet, as we look around and evaluate what is justice, we see that no justice takes place in this world. Wicked men prosper. Good men get sick and diseased and die at a young age. Things are all wrong. Children are taken from parents prematurely. Things are all wrong everywhere. There's no justice in this world. Thus, the crux of his argument. There must be a God. Because whoever programmed this morality into us is going to get his justice, and he's going to right the ship. Therefore, there must be a God, and there must be an afterlife, and there must be a judgment and a resurrection to the judgment in order for this God that programmed this moral compass into us, in order for him to see his final justice. That was the moral argument for the existence of God. And the more I look at this, you know, I've put so much time and energy in with Dr. Fetzer on the Sandy Hook thing, and I've tried to have this discussion with him on a lot of different levels, and I mean a lot of different levels, but the Dr. Fetzer, you think that by working harder or putting out more books and writing more research that you're going to find justice? It's not going to happen. Justice, I don't believe that we get justice in this world. Now, I'm a private investigator. My job is partially justice. It's vindication of truth. But there is a time and a place where I've begun to abandon the concept that we're going to get justice in this world, and I'm still at peace with that. Do I want to spend my life in turmoil battling evil men that have more power than I do? Or do I want to try to find a peaceful, graceful path where I can bring others along with me? I choose the latter rather than the former, because I believe that, like Ole Damigard does, he just simply shines some light on the situation. You don't see him out here and battling away in court all day long every day to get this done. He peacefully sows the seeds like a farmer, like, and he reaps the harvest. Well, I'd like to be the same type of man. And I believe that that's how the war is actually won against these people. Peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness. It might not happen in our time frame. It might not happen according to our rules, and our desperate appetite for justice might not be satisfied in this world, but in time we will prevail, although there's going to be lots of ebbs and flows along the way.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, we can't get attached to the results, that's for sure. All right. Next, Trump, Biden, optics. Want to play this one?
Was testifying right next door in FEC commissioner was testifying right next door in between the two of them. And we'll listen to his opening statement.
Given the clear precedent established by the U.S. Supreme Court regarding the prohibition of state officers prosecuting federal crimes, it is perplexing that Attorney General Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice did not intervene in the prosecution of Donald Trump.
To reclaim
the DOJ's
their
election year sensitivity policy is designed to protect the public from being influenced by legal proceedings during an election year. Had the DOJ zealously represented the United States by intervening to protect its own jurisdiction and that of the FEC, a disclosure on May 31st in unredacted FEC documents reveals that the Department of Justice conducted a year-long investigation and found no criminal acts committed by former President Trump. This revelation underscores the problematic nature of Bragg's prosecution and his intrusion upon federal jurisdiction.
FEC Commission.
That is an excellent summary, and there's probably a dozen legal points of similar importance. It's just a joke, and as I keep saying, everyone in law sees this. I don't want to play this one, too.
This out.
Giuliani is feeding Russian misinformation to Donald Trump, to the New York Post. They know it's a lie. History will expose you all as fools and useful idiots for the Russians. It's unbelievable how stupid you think Americans are.
2024. The laptop data we had analyzed showed no evidence it was faked or tampered with.
They all refused to admit that they lied, that if they were wrong, that they had zero evidence that it was Russian disinformation. They knew it wasn't Russian disinformation. The FBI had had the laptop since December 2019.
What do you think about this? Check.
Yeah, and it's all becoming more and more clear. The Missouri AG says he's going to sue New York over the Trump hush money case. And that is also an excellent move. And the more information that comes out and the more that people can see what these charges were about, then the better chance that we have that we're going to get justice. Because the level of integrity that I'm talking about, you all learned in high school government class. Fake news MSNBC claimed there is a recording of Trump saying he lost the 2020 election, but the audio tells a different story. And the press is also saying that anything that shows Joe Biden looking mentally incompetent is just a doctored film. But this, here we go. Oh, no, this isn't the one that I thought. But the money line, here we go. This is the one.
Through some of the old clips.
Okay.
And there's a chapter where I talk about the decision to bring in Martha Stewart, because this is obviously the thesis of the book, as I've told you, is good. The Apprentice was a groundbreaking show. It was a genre-defying show. You changed the world. You changed television. And so when Martha Stewart tried to do what you did so successfully, she failed completely. Yeah, she was a total flop.
And blamed me.
And one of the arguments in the book, and it's okay, I'm going to start tape recording, one of the arguments in my book is that The Apprentice is one of the most influential TV shows in the history of television. And it changed television, and it changed everyone's perception of you. And
all right, and that's just some of the mush that he was being fed by the person who later on used an inaccurate... Actually, I've got to find the quote here. There we go. The quote was that Trump said, Geraldo is after I lost the election. I won the election, but when they said we lost, he called me up 3 or 4 times. And that is the basis of the clip. And I guess it's in this larger section that I'm not going to go through and play. And the idea that we're going to get a fake Joe Biden for the debate. Now, I demonstrate that this guy is an actor wearing a mask, and this may be one of the more outrageous ones. It's like the Balchinian from Men in Black. All right. Right. Ooh, I've lost it. There we go. Your thoughts, brother.
You know, on the mask issue and the fake Bidens, it's so painfully obvious that something's not right. And I guess you could spend a lot of time trying to put the pieces together and puzzle it out and deconstruct the facial recognition and, you know, there's all these things that you could do to it. It is all of a big show. And, you know, I think this is one of the reasons that people wanted to lean so heavily on, you know, Q theory. And I wanted to lean heavily on it too. And I still secretly hope that it's real. But the idea is that it's become so obvious that it's nothing but a show. And I remember after, you know, 2020 inauguration, you know, the fake sets and the fake people and the fake stages and the fake, you know, press briefing rooms and the fake people that are installed to do fake jobs, the fake act, you know, fake. Who do they think they're fooling and why? Well, they're fooling the most of the American people because most of the American people are willing to turn on MSNBC or CBS or CNN or ABC or whatever, NBC, and let the talking heads tell them what to think. You know, if Americans were to ever actually wake up, they'd probably shut off their TV, resurrect their library, and start spending a lot more time with their kids rather than allowing these grifters on the television and the talking heads to tell people what to think. And that example with Trump is a perfect example of why, how these people do ambush journalism for cash. I mean, do you really want to sell your soul? Do you need money that bad? If that's true, that you need money that bad, that you're willing to twist and distort your journalistic integrity in order to satisfy a checkbox on an agenda of somebody else's, then you're a pretty sad and pathetic human being. You probably ought to quit your job and, you know, start doing some reflection if it's gotten that bad for you. And I take a look now at the mainstream media and I see nothing but a bunch of actors, Cuomo's and Stelter's and all the others, actors everywhere. It's sad and pathetic that these people have become so weak, that they're so dependent upon the system, that they need to sell their soul on that level in order to continue the charade of trying to convince the American people that you've got good intentions when it's becoming clear and obvious, especially after COVID, that you don't.
Yeah. It's irredeemable for corporate media. They're not going to survive this. All right, official optics. How low can it go before we have something break? And by break, I mean that our masters won't be able to tell us anything because there's just going to be a critical mass of refusal to obey. Because of things like this, spending on the homeless in Portland, Oregon has reached shocking levels. Why do they still have a problem? Well, it's because they steal the money and they're not transparent and they don't make promises that can be verified and they don't report on their promises. So it's crazy. And for homelessness, $500 million in 1 year spent, and it increases. Where does it go? Well, they don't tell you because it's not meant to solve those problems. Again, here in California, I keep telling the story that Governor Newsom, when he ran for mayor of San Francisco, he ran on the campaign of ending homelessness. Got worse. Made it worse. There are solutions. For California, running for governor, Newsom, same thing, and homelessness just got worse. Reparations for the common people. Now, I like this take, and the take is that we have an oligarchy, a kleptocracy, a plutocracy, and that's what you need to take a look at. The 0.1% own more assets than the 90%. Far-left mayor's career might suddenly be over as furious residents just revolted. Yeah, this is Oakland. This is Oakland, California. And they have no-go zones there because the crime is so bad. And make sure I got this one here, too. U.S. government historical debt. I don't know what I got here. I don't think I have this. So in for Trudeau, among the leaders, among the heads of state, he may be the first one to go. I don't know. All of them, the scripts are so bad, anyone could fall. But here's Canada.
Do you think the fact that the Pathways Alliance has removed its online content indicates they wouldn't have been in compliance with Bill C-59's greenwashing provisions?
Listen, I think one of...
Okay, now what he's going to do is he received a question, and what he wants to do instead is read a script, and he's reading a script. It's a disconnect, but they do it all the time. Now, it's curious he would choose this disconnect in this script, but he just does it. And then we're going to apply a little bit of analysis of what he says.
One of the things that's really important is that in our democracy, people build their positions and their decisions around facts. Now, freedom of expression, freedom of people to share their points of view is extraordinarily important. It's one of the foundations of a free and open democracy.
Now, what he's doing is he's trying to do damage control and maintain dictatorial control over suppression of non-approved speech. So he wants to be able to censor. And we're just being reminded of the history that he didn't allow free speech. And he's going to say that he wants free speech, except, and then that's the bullshit rhetoric talking point to destroy free speech is just by the dictate of this exception, and we'll let him explain it here.
But we need to make sure that people are debating and discussing and basing their worldview on things that are anchored in truth and reality.
So that's going to be the bullshit talking point, is that whatever they allow, it has to be within reality, within truth, and whatever it is that they don't approve of is going to be untruthful or unreal. Yeah, I just forgot to add that story in here. But this is the last part of the official optics that I want to show you. U.S. government historical debt, just showing a graph here, is that we keep talking about the exponential like growth curve of aggregate debt. Now, this is just the U.S. federal government debt, and it is not sustainable. And people will no longer be willing to invest in this Ponzi scheme, but we're still talking about it. It hasn't happened yet. Brian, your thoughts, brother? Oops, we lost Brian Davidson. So we'll go on with the show. Are we scripted for a MAGA domestic terrorism false flag? Chilling. Biden regime declares Trump supporters domestic terror threats in newly released internal document. Oh, Brian said he had the blue screen of death. Take a moment and text him so he's not concerned. He shouldn't be a picture of his blue screen of death. Okay. So the Biden regime sought to set up DHS intel unit to target them. And this is going to be the bullshit rhetoric that alleges but doesn't prove anything. And the line is here, it seems that the most of the domestic terrorism threat now comes from the supporters of the former president. And they just say it seems like that without any evidence, without any type of documentation. They're just going to dictate it and then roll with it. And that's going to be part of a background narrative that might be associated with this. The experts warn of impending terrorist attacks on the U.S. soil. Well, they're probably right. Is that if our opponents have the ability to do this? No, I didn't screen share with that with you. I apologize. I kind of got distracted there. So let me go back and show you those headlines here. Biden regime declares Trump supporters domestic terrorist threats. And here's the money line. Most of the domestic terrorism threat now comes from supporters of the former president. Unsubstantiated, of course. It's another one of those lines. And that we may get a terrorist attack on U.S. soil, but it'll be a false flag if they have the ability to do it. So we'll see. Now I do have one more topic that I want to show to you, and that the idea of synergy is that you're going to get unimaginable and unpredictable solutions. One of the problems that we have is our food is poisoned intentionally. This may be one of the solutions.
Millions worth millions cannot match the work done by this army of ducks. In actuality, farmers in Thailand do not utilize chemical pesticides to eradicate bug infestations. Rather, they foot the bill for this army of ducks, which hits the field right away. With 100% accuracy, this army of ducks kills every bug in the field. Even machines worth millions cannot...
Hey, we got Brian back. Welcome back, brother. I did share with everybody that you had the blue screen of death. And we just went over one other section of stories. Any comment that you want to make at this point?
One of those articles was by Don Jeffries. I'm a huge fan of Don Jeffries. I think everybody ought to read more and more Don Jeffries. The audiobooks are incredibly interesting just to listen to. And he was talking about the book, The Richest of the Rich, which basically delves into the how we keep the rich, how society is engineered toward the ongoing protection of the wealthiest class of people. Lots of different points to be made in that particular direction. Other than that, that's where I kind of lost the show altogether. I don't even know what the content that followed after that was. That was the last thing I heard before my screen just went blue screen of death. You know, it's always strange how right when I get deepest into the research related to these false flags, which is exactly what I've been doing, that I start having computer troubles. I don't know if it's the demon of darkness or whether it's actually some nefarious organization looking into what I'm doing. But, you know, I figure out you'd be shocked. I don't say it very often, especially on the shows, because I don't want to get myself into hot water. Nobody likes to get sued, and lawsuits are, I have insurance and bonds. Just the threat of a lawsuit could cripple my corporate insurance rate. But I spend a lot of time figuring out the real identities of these people and how the false flags are actually accomplished, where they get recruited from, how they get recruited into the agendas. And, you know, there's quite a few people that want me to write books about it. But let's just say that I know who they really are. And I'm not fooled by the fake identities. it's just part of the research that I do. But I might be the only one that knows because I don't say anything. But probably one of these days, I probably ought to write it all down and open up the files. But that's lawsuit suicide. It's what it is, because these people will protect themselves with lawfare. There's no doubt about it.
Yep. And we did talk about the potential that if our opponents have the power, they're likely going to try a false flag attack, and they'll blame it on MAGA and then use that as justification to do something like who knows what, but they'll have to have the power to do it. And then we had the story of the ducks being used instead of pesticides in Indonesia. And the idea of synergy with solutions is that people may get some unanticipated solutions moving forward if we can ever get a fair and truthful playing field.
Okay.
All right.
I missed them.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for the show. Go to closing statements. And for me, just another week in the empire. As we talked about at the beginning of the show, this coming week is going to be a big week. There's going to be that alleged debate. And the financial implications of the Saudis no longer exclusively selling oil for dollars. That will have consequences, and we may get a breakout of the destruction of the demand for U.S. debt. But in the meantime, everything seems just to be moving in the direction that it has been for months. Everything that happens seems to expose our opponents more and more. And yet, while my conversations with ordinary people seem to indicate they're paying attention and they're ready for the removal of the criminal regime, conversations with other people show that we still need a breakthrough event. Otherwise, the interpretation among the liberals is that this would be like a true insurrection. So something has to break to destroy the trust that the normies still have that the U.S. is anything other than an ongoing lying, looting, Orwellian illegal rogue state empire that wants them cold and dead. Brian, closing statement, brother.
Well, as for the death of the petrodollar, I know that it's a big deal. I've read things that say it's not going to have as much of an impact as you would think. And then I've read, you know, the sky is falling scenarios as well. RT had a really good article the other day called "The Death of the Petrodollar Really Happened Between the U.S. and the Saudis." Well-written, well-researched, long-term sort of approach to how it's all gone down. But I think this week, I think you'll get a lot of, I'd like to find out what's really going on with today's attacks of synagogues and Orthodox churches in Dagestan, Russia. Apparently a bunch of militants have been captured and burned down synagogues, which of course are Jewish, and then Orthodox Christian churches, which of course are Christian. And I'm curious as to what's under the hood on that. It just happened today on Sunday, 6th, June 23rd. So I'd like to see how that plays out, whether or not it's real or it's another fake one. I don't know. Russia, I have never put it above them to use the same contractors to commit false flags over there as they've done over here. As for the rest of it, you know, it's the middle of summer. We should be doing the best we can to be, you know, using our time wisely and profitable. But it's really hard to get motivated when it's 104 degrees outside. It's just hard to get outside and do anything. So hopefully a few days of rest and relaxation in Denver will pay dividends for us.
Very good. Well, have fun. Have a great trip. And for our audience members, thank you for your intellectual integrity and moral courage. We will be back tomorrow with more of the news that you need to know.